When we say hallelujah, it's the highest praise. We give him glory, God Almighty reigns. We lift our hands and worship many ways. And when we say hallelujah, it's the highest praise. Well, we were born to worship, we were born to praise. Every tribe and nation through the ages bless his name. Let us raise our voice together, his power to proclaim. And when we say hallelujah, it's the highest praise. When we say hallelujah, it's the highest praise. We give him glory, God Almighty reigns. We lift our hands and worship many ways. And when we say hallelujah, it's the highest praise. Praise him on the cymbals, praise him in the dance. We'll say glory, glory, we can even shout amen. Let the floor of heaven rumble as we shout and celebrate. And when we say hallelujah, it's the highest praise. When we say hallelujah, it's the highest praise. We give him glory, God Almighty reigns. We lift our hands and worship many ways. And when we say hallelujah, it's the highest praise like this. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. When we say hallelujah, it's the highest praise. We give him glory, God Almighty reigns. We lift our hands and worship many ways. And when we say hallelujah, say hallelujah. When we say hallelujah, it's the highest praise. So the reason I just did that is because Wayne, our leader, was in the back going, stretch it, stretch it. Well, the song's over, so the only thing left was just to hold the last note. So anyway, so you're good to go or need a little time? Need some time? Well, we've got other things before the music starts. Are we still okay? You still need me? You're coming. Okay.
He did exactly what I asked him to do. That's great. Stretch. Technology is wonderful until it's not. But I think we're getting it figured out. Let me know when, because we have one presentation that's coming up, so let me know when it's ready. Good evening. We had a great evening after supper. Went down to the lake, and we were able to celebrate Kelsey Bridges getting baptized there in Lake Mary. It was a beautiful baptism. They should be rolling in here pretty soon. It was a great baptism of her re-squaring things away, rededicating her life to serving Jesus and following him. After the service today, we have a reception for WGM celebrating their 115th anniversary. We will hear from their president, Dr. Dan Schaefer, in just a little bit. And we will see a short video of the history of WGM right after he shares. And looking forward to that. Then tomorrow at the 9:30 service, we have the privilege of having special guest speaker Dr. Tim Throckmorton, who will be joining us for that hour. Make sure that you come and hear about that. Looking forward to hearing him and what he's got to say on Tuesday morning. And then Tuesday evening, we have the kids that are going to come and share with us in a few songs and a few, I need to talk slower, a few songs and a few Bible verses that they have worked on memorizing this week. They have worked every day memorizing these Bible verses and the hand motions that they're going to do for us. Miss Kylie and her team have just been doing a great job. They're running about 40 kids over there at the different activities that they do. And so it'll be a great time of them ministering to us. Yes. I don't. Susan, do you know where we are for youth share total? 83? Wow. Wow. That is good news. We are almost at 100, our goal. So let's get that tonight. Let's go ahead and finish that out. Let's get 17 more youth shares. It's not offering time, but hey, it's never too early to start talking offering, right? Let's go ahead and finish that out. Just look over there. Look at the beautiful souls that are over there. It's the densest part of the, take that how you want it, it's the densest part of the tabernacle. I love it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 rows deep they got, shoulder to shoulder. That is awesome. Let's hear it for our youth. Avery, are we good to go?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, I'm going to introduce, I don't need to introduce, y'all know Jesse Arnold. Jesse is taking on a new direction, a new step in faith in his mission life. And so he's going to come up and share a little bit about what God is doing in his life. I'm going to give him 4 minutes and 29 seconds. And if he goes over, I'll just start pushing him out. No, I'm just kidding. Come on up, and he's going to share a little bit about what God's doing in his life.
How are we on the video? No? All right, we'll skip it. We're good without it. How about the presentation? Nope? All right, we're going 100% audio. Just wanted to call out the tables that we have set up on both sides of the tabernacle. Lots of great information for our missionaries, prayer cards, different things that they've brought from the field that you can look at and enjoy and learn a little bit more about the culture and the areas where they serve. So with that, I hope that what I do next does not disqualify me from ever taking this podium again. Let me get a whoop. Whoop, whoop. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
JC.
Jesus Christ.
JC.
Jesus Christ.
Like Wayne said, my name is Jesse Arnold. I have a passion for four things. Jesus Christ, my wife and family, youth, and athletics. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we come before you with hearts full of gratitude for your love and grace. We praise you for sending your son, Jesus, to redeem us and for the privilege of sharing his good news with the world. We ask that you will fill this tabernacle with your Holy Spirit, drawing us closer to you, and prepare our hearts to receive your word. Grant our missionaries strength, wisdom, and courage as they serve you. May they be a beacon of your love and truth, drawing others to you. We pray for open doors and receptive hearts as they share the gospel. Amen. I've been coming here since 2000, so 25 years. In the last few years, you may not have seen me as much due to work responsibilities. I can only stay for a few days, maybe the first weekend. I think last year we stayed through Missionary Day. So there's a lot of new faces, a lot of new families that have started participating at Taylor County Camp, and I am, for one, very grateful for that. So a lot of you may not know me or who I am, and some of you that I've known for years may not know my whole story. So I'm going to start with a little bit about my story. I was saved at a very young age at the Florida State Fairgrounds. A local church, had set up a tent, and they were inviting people to come into the tent, and they were using the wordless book. Does anybody know the wordless book? No. Only a couple. Okay, so the wordless book is a book that has a few pages in it, no words. They're gold, black, red, white, and green. And if you want to know how those books and those colors walk you through a path of salvation, come talk to me after. I've only got 5 minutes. As I continued to grow up in my youth, I started attending Aldersgate United Methodist Church in Florida, got very involved with the youth group, had a phenomenal youth pastor. She's an Asbury grad. She took me to visit Asbury, and I later attended Asbury as a college student. I started volunteering at a local youth group while I was a student at Asbury. And so, you know, somebody asked me just a couple of days ago, when did you start your ministry? And I had to think about it for a second, but I guess that's it, is in that youth group. I later on in my Asbury years went and worked as a youth leader intern at Hyde Park United Methodist Church in Tampa. In parallel with that, I started wrestling. Started wrestling at the age of 12. By the time I got to high school, played football for 4 years, wrestled all through high school. My college years, I continued to wrestle. When I couldn't compete anymore, I went right into coaching. It was a natural transition for me. As you can tell, a little bit of a theme, I love youth. So it was easy for me. It was easy for me to continue to coach and to minister to youth through sport. Back when I was in college, I was a broke college kid. Started working at UPS. That took my life in a different direction. UPS started to promote me. They started to move me around the country. Long story short, I spent 25 years with UPS. When they approached me one day and asked if I would be interested in taking an early buyout package. It was a program that you signed up for. I applied for it, but I didn't get it right away. Somebody else got it who had more years of service than I did. But about a year and a few months later, they came to me quite surprisingly and said, we're going to honor your request. And so with about 2 days' notice, my last day at UPS was September 15th of 2024. I went to one of the gentlemen I had been coaching with or was coaching with wrestling. He was a area director for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And I went and I told him what happened at practice that day, and his face lit up. And I said, Joey, I don't have an income. How come you're so excited? He says, because I need you to be an area director for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And so Joey and I met for quite a few breakfasts, lunches. I asked him every question under the sun about what this was like. He answered all those questions with grace and patience. We've dealt with this for about 9 months, and I'm here to tell you, standing on this platform today, that I've made that decision to follow God's calling on my life in the next chapter of my life to go into full-time ministry. it seems a little strange. What's God going to do with a 51-year-old guy that's going to work with youth? But quite a few people have encouraged me with the words of, we need wisdom as well with these youth, which again, I wonder, are you sure you got the right guy? How are we doing on the slides? No? Okay. So the next part, we're going to have some visuals to go along with it. So what is the Fellowship of Christian Athletes? The Fellowship of Christian Athletes is a combination of two passions, faith and athletics. The vision of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes is to see the world transformed by Jesus Christ through the influence of athletes and coaches. The mission is to lead every athlete and coach into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and his church. Who will I minister to? Well, like we just heard, coaches and athletes. But to me, that's the tip of the iceberg. We have a major challenge in our public school system. So I'm not going to stop there. I'm going to use the Fellowship of Christian Athletes as a club and organization in a high school to get my foot in the door. Once I get my foot in the door, I don't care if you're a coach or an athlete. I don't care if you're on the chess club. I don't care if you're a science teacher. If you will give me your ear, I will tell you about Jesus. Any student who wants to come to a huddle, no matter what their background is, what their athletic desires are, what their hobbies are, they are welcome. Now, I will tell you that our huddles and our teachings are slanted toward athletics. We may give parallels that talk about football or basketball or golf, but all are welcome. And it's too bad we don't have the visual. If you remember back to the wordless book, and I told you there are certain colors of pages, and each one of those colors represents a different part of the salvation story or walks you through and to salvation, FCA uses what we call the four. So if you can imagine a heart, and that heart symbolizes that God loves you, a division sign, and that means that, you know, sin separates us from God, divides us from God. Then there's a cross, and that cross says that Jesus rescues you, and then there's a question mark, and that question mark is, will you trust Jesus? Will you make a decision to follow him? We put those four symbols on all kinds of literature. We put them on bracelets. Bracelets don't fit on my arms very well. I'm kind of a bigger guy, so I can't wear them. They're too tight, but I've got some, and I keep them on a backpack. We put them on bracelets for the students to wear to school. It's great conversation starters. How will I minister? I will have an area. I will be an area director. I'll have an area of about 20 middle school and high schools. My goal is to go into each one of those middle schools and high schools, if they don't already have a club, called the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, to start a club of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes in those schools. That means I have to find a coach, a teacher, somebody who will take on as a volunteer the responsibility to meet with those students. We will identify student leaders within those organizations who will lead huddles within their peers. I'll provide resources and supports for those clubs. I'll meet with them. I will lead them in services. I will lead them in Bible studies. I will lead them in devotionals. I will be an organizer, things called fields of faith and courts of faith, where we invite students and parents after games, football, basketball, baseball, to stay after the game or to come the next day on a Saturday, and we'll have worship together and preaching. I'll lead fundraising efforts to send students to athletic and leadership camps. I'll be a camp director or co-director for sports-specific camps. Unfortunately, we don't have the slides, but I had two slides prepared to show you. We had a camp earlier this summer, FCA wrestling camp for North Carolina, where we had 300 students, 300 wrestlers from across the state come, and they got a lot of two things, a lot of wrestling and a lot of Jesus. We had nightly services. We had multiple huddles. We call them huddles throughout the day, where they got to meet in small groups and talk with huddle leaders. Why am I doing it? This is the tough part. Since 2018, there have been 228 school shootings where at least one person was killed or injured. 228. I thought about that for a second, and I thought, that seems high. We hear about some serious shootings in the national news. But then I thought, locally, within our community, there was a school called Mount Tabor last year that there was a school shooting that I'm pretty sure didn't make the national news. There's another school, Glenn, where our two oldest daughters went. There was a stabbing in the bathroom this year. We have a lack of Jesus problem in our schools. Inappropriate comments from a person of authority to a student is estimated to reach 10% of students. Doesn't sound that bad, 10%. Until you hear this statistic, there are 17.3 million high school students in the United States. Math taught us, multiply 10%, move the decimal point one point over. 1.7 million students have heard an inappropriate comment from a person of authority in our schools. We have a lack of Jesus problem in our schools. Inappropriate relationships between a teacher, coach, or volunteer in 2024 is estimated to be 13,799 cases. This is just what's reported. There are so many more things that are not reported. We have a lack of Jesus problem in our schools. Depending on the source that you look at, 70 to 90% of people who accept Christ do so before the age of 18. We need to reach these students. Thanks for talking about the youth shares. We need our students here. We need people like me to go out into those schools and minister to them. We are in a race for the hearts of this generation. What's next for me? This decision to be fully committed to this is very recent, so recent that I still have to go to the training for it. I go to Kansas City, Missouri, hopefully in August. That was the last discussion that Joey and I had, where I will go through 3 days of training. I will need fundraising. Just like the missionaries that we're hearing from today, I have to raise my own funds. So I need financial support, and then I also need your prayer. Going before high school students is not always easy. If you think back to when you were in high school, you were probably worried about being judged. I know I was. It's a very judgmental place. It's pretty tough when you're an adult too. They give us names like Boomer. I'm not a Boomer, by the way. I'm Gen X. We've heard a lot of good preaching this week. We've heard about people see Jesus in us before they read about it here. I remember that. One of the first service, first or second service, we heard that. And that made me think about Matthew 5, 14 through 16. And yes, I'm that old that I have to put on glasses now. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all those to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. That is my cry to myself as I go out into this journey and into these schools. Wayne, sorry for going over 5 minutes. Thank you, everyone, for your time. Oh, one more thing. If you would like to partner with me, if you would like some information, Stephanie, my beautiful wife right here, has a black book that she's going to pass around. If you would like to put your name, address, phone number, email in there, I will be happy to reach out to you, keep you updated with updates and things that are going on in my ministry. Thank you.
Sorry, Wayne, for going over my 5 minutes. Oh, and by the way, all right, we still don't have projection. We don't have lyrics. So they're still working on it. How many Holiness campers does it take to run a computer? It's not Avery. It's something with my computer that's messing up. Avery, Brian has the lyrics to the songs on his computer. Is there a way, is there an HDMI up here to run the lyrics from his computer while y'all are working on that? Easily. What are those? What is? I am so sorry. Both of the lyrics and both of the presentations are all on that script. All right, while they're hooking that computer up, let's all stand. We're going to worship together one way or another after. I see some lyrics. All right. All right, let's pray. Father God, we give tonight to you, regardless of what happens tonight, and you're in control, and we will just continue to lift your name high and glorify you. Technology won't distract us. Other things won't distract us. It doesn't take any of that to worship you, to lift high your name. So we are gonna push on, and we are just we surrender this all to you. So it's yours. May you be lifted high. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Remain standing, if you would. This is exciting music. I was happy that they were able to get it going there. So Jesse, thank you for your ministry. I've sung for some FCA things. We were sharing some stories. And God is working in the athletic world. And we have some great leaders, some great coaches, some former players. And I got in one of these situations in St. Louis, Missouri. They had two Hall of Famers talking about playing in their days of playing and their highlights of their games that they played at Hall of Fame players. And then they said, Brian, you'll come up and sing after that. And I thought, oh, good. Because I have a lot of Hall of Fame material that I can show, you know. So what I told them is those guys are game changers. But the biggest world changer ever was Jesus Christ. And I sang about him that night. Let's sing about him now, okay? All right, here we go.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day, they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected. Bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. Hands that heal nations, stretched down on a tree.
You have to do it for me.
They took the nails for me. Living, he loved me.
Change it, please.
Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified.
Next slide.
love this verse. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose, over death he had conquered. Now is ascended, my Lord, evermore. I know death could not hold him, and the grave could not keep him from rising again. Amen, church. Living, he loved me, and dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified.
I heard that arrangement from Casting Crowns, and I thought, oh good, I need a good contemporary song, and I'll use this. And a lady much older than me walked up to me one time. She said, I love that old hymn. So what do I know? It's an old hymn. Little different setting, but the true words, right? Amen. This next one, I need you to be the word. You have to sing the part in parentheses, like you're the choir, okay? Have you done this one before? So you answer me, and if you can sing my part too, that's fine, but mostly I need you to concentrate on the reply, okay? All right. It's going to be fun if I get on the right page here. All right, now we're ready. Invest in this song. It's worth it. Do you feel the world is broken? We do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? We do. But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you wish that you could see it all made new? We do. Is all creation groaning? It is. And is a new creation coming? It is. And is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? It is. Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? It is. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died. Ransom the slave, is he worthy?
he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this?
What do you say, church?
He is.
I love this verse.
But does the Father truly love us? He does. Oh, and does his Spirit move among us? He does. Oh, and does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those he loves? He does. And does our God intend to dwell again with us? He does. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Every kingdom and tribe, and every nation and tongue, he has made us a kingdom and priest to God, to reign with the Son. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he worthy of this?
Shout it out, my friends.
I know he is. He is. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is. He is. He is.
Please be seated.
One more time without the music. He is worthy.
He is.
He is. Amen. I think we've got stuff going back there, so we are pressing forward. Would you please welcome for an update from WGM, please welcome Dr. Dan Schaefer.
Well, if there was ever an organization that owes its success to its constituencies, it is World Gospel Mission. It is you who have prayed for our missionaries. It is you who have prayed for WGM. It is you who have given to those missionaries. It's you that have encouraged them as they've come to your churches, as they have been there, sometimes, you know, on a long home assignment, and you've given them encouragement. You've lifted them up. You have written them on the field and encouraged them there. It is you that have encouraged your young people to consider a call to missions that has been the seed that was planted in their lives that turned into them going to the field. It is you who have preached the Great Commission or taught it in your Sunday school classes. It is you that have made WGM a great success. And I'm here this evening to thank you for all that you have done for these last 115 years. Now, I know not all of you were here for those full 115 years. I know some of you think that I have, but I want to thank you for all that you have done. I want to thank you for the churches that you have planted around the world in various countries that stretch from one end of this globe to the other. I want to thank you for the medical facilities that you have established, and hundreds of thousands upon thousands have received medical care that they would not have otherwise received along with the gospel message. I want to thank you for the educational institutions that you have established in all these various countries. I want to thank you for the theological training that has happened because of you. I want to thank you for the millions of people, literally millions of people, who have heard the gospel proclaimed, and the hundreds of thousands who have accepted him. They have heard that and called upon his name and have been saved, and miraculously also heard the message of holiness and have been freed from the power of sin in their life. I want to thank you for what you have done over these last 115 years. WGM could not have done it without you. You are incredible, and I'm here to thank you tonight. I'm also here to tell you that the best years of WGM are still ahead of us. Yeah, we got 115 years of success behind us, but there are incredible years that are still before us, because the gospel is still being preached around the world in powerful ways, and people's lives are being transformed every single day because of you. And thank you for all that you've done. I have a presentation, Wayne. I'd like you to come up here. I got a presentation I'd like to make from WGM. But as he's coming, I've got some other things I want to just share with you. We have a special T-shirt, 115 years, celebrating our 115 years, and I'd like to give some of these away. Let's see. And for the young people, I can't get that far back. We got somebody here that's going to help. Oh. And here, up front.
Oh, thank you.
All right. And there's various sizes. If you didn't get the size that you want, maybe you can trade around with some of the others. But Wayne, I've got a plaque here. It says, Global Impact Appreciation, presented to Taylor County Camp in recognition of your dedication and sacrifice to World Gospel Missions, 115 years of engaging Christ-like disciples to transform the world by spreading scriptural holiness to all the nations. Thank you for your great commission impact that you are making around the world. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. 2 Corinthians 9:12. God bless you. Thank you. All right. We have a video we'd like to share with you about the history of WGM. Thank you again. I'll be back to pray for the offering when the video is done. Thank you. And again, thank you for all that you have done to make WGM a success. And the couples we have here this evening, this separating that representing WGM, are part of that workforce that you are sending out to make a difference. Let us pray for tonight's offering, that God will bless it, use it for this camp and for the missionaries for which it will be given this evening. Father, we truly are grateful for your blessings. We're thankful for all that you have done through this camp, down through the years alongside of World Gospel Mission. Lord, we thank you for the ministry of this camp, and we ask that tonight that you would use the people in this tabernacle to meet the needs that this camp has so that its ministry can continue for many years to come. And thank you, Lord, for the missionaries that are here and for the blessings of you have put upon their life. And bless the offering for the missionaries as well. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you.
To count for something, to leave their mark when this life is through. But vain pursuits will come to nothing. And time will erase whatever we do. So I want my life to count for Jesus. With their own eyes. each day, and they see the things I treasure. I pray my path leads them to Christ, because I want them.
So I want you to imagine with me that it's lunchtime. You're hungry, and you've brought all the fixings for sandwiches. You've got the bread, the meat, the cheese. You've even brought chips and cookies on the side. And you've even come prepared with plates. So you have thought of everything for this lunch. The only thing is, you're not using those plates, because instead of being seated around a table, you're actually in a Land Cruiser bumping down a dirt road that was washed out from the last rainstorm. And so with your friends in the vehicle, you develop a system where one person has the meat, one has the cheese, one has the chips, and you just pass every few minutes so food doesn't fly across the vehicle.
Well, good evening, everyone. We are the Donahue family, and we're super excited to get to be here with you this evening and this whole week. And just a little bit of background of who we are. We mentioned this earlier in the morning service, but I grew up as a missionary kid. And actually, I remember coming here to Taylor County Camp with my parents almost 20 years ago. And it's crazy to think it's been that time has gone past that fast. I grew up originally in Bolivia. My parents were there until my second grade year. And then there was a need for a missionary family in the neighboring country of Paraguay. And so my parents said yes to going to Paraguay. It was a very difficult transition with starting over at third grade. Through the years, I grew to love the Paraguayan people and the culture, ended up spending most of my middle school years and high school years there, and then finally graduated from high school and came to the U.S. To study at Asbury University. And it was during that time that I was sensing that God wasn't completely done with me in Paraguay, but I didn't know in what capacity he would want to use me. And I was skeptical towards the idea of missions, because I didn't want to just go back to replicate what my childhood had been. And so I was seeking the Lord and wanting to be obedient. And if he wanted me to go, I wanted to be willing. And so throughout those years, he started to show me that this is what I have for you.
Yeah, and for a little background on me, I grew up in Southern California, and my parents were always supportive of missionaries growing up. They hosted them in our home at different times, and so I grew up hearing stories of God at work around the world. But then it was really during my time, I also attended Asbury University, and during my time there in college, I became involved with the World Gospel Mission Student Center on Asbury's campus. And through the ministry of Global Cafe, which was a weekly mission service where they would have a missionary speaker come and share about God's work around the world, They would have student-led worship and then dinner afterwards, which of course always draws a crowd of college students. I began to hear more and more about missionaries answering the call to serving around the world, and eventually the Lord laid that on my heart, freshman year at Asbury, and I said yes to that. And so fast forward, I graduated from Asbury in May of 2021. Andres and I got married that November, and then we had the privilege of co-leading a team of four Asbury students down to Paraguay on a short-term missions trip in May of 2022.
Yes, and it was on this trip that we got to see the work that God was doing in the capital city of Paraguay, in Asunción, where my parents still serve to this day. And then the other half, we got to go to some of the more rural parts of Paraguay and get to share the good news with First Nation or indigenous communities that had had very little or no exposure to the gospel. And so if you remember the story that Bethany started us off this evening, well, that story happened on the third day of our trip. And our leader, Peter, gathered our whole team together and was like, we have had a later start to the morning than expected. And if we take our regularly scheduled lunch break, where we typically parked off to the side of the road, enjoyed a relaxing time for lunch, and then continued, if we did that, then we won't be able to make it to all the communities we had hoped for that day. But if you're willing to eat on the go, Lord willing, we'll be able to make it to all of them. And so the group discussed amongst themselves and ended up deciding we'd much rather just go and eat on the go because we want to be a part of sharing the good news with those who haven't heard.
So for a little more context on the First Nations communities that Andres is referencing, Paraguay has a number of First Nations or indigenous communities that have developed largely independently of the European influence that can be seen in Paraguay's major cities. And so through the centuries, these communities have kept their original language and culture, which is beautiful and really unique in the story of Latin America. But unfortunately, due to some historical factors like bad business deals, being taken advantage of by those outside the community, having their land taken away at different times, First Nations peoples have become very skeptical of anything that would be seen as outside influence. And unfortunately, this has included the gospel. And so it's been really difficult for the gospel to permeate in Paraguay in the past. And so there are two numbers that I would love for you to remember when you think about Paraguay and First Nations communities there. And the first one is 776. 776 is the approximate number of communities of First Nations peoples in the country of Paraguay. Now, community can be anywhere from just a few families to several hundred people, but they would have each have their own chief. So 776, and of those, over 550 are still unreached with the gospel.
Yeah, and it was when we saw this statistic and connected it with our experience of actually going and visiting 13 communities over the span of 3 days that we saw the urgency and the need for more workers. And so that's kind of how God started working in our hearts. And so right now, I want to just take a step back and talk a little bit about Paraguay. If you're unsure of where Paraguay is located, that's okay. This is a map of South America. Paraguay is right in the middle. Paraguayans love to call it the heart of South America. And its size is comparable to the size of California here in the U.S., and the population is around 7 million. And in Paraguay, they have two official languages. First one is Spanish, a very common Latin American language. And then the second one is a language called Guarani. And so Guarani is more of a heart language for the people. It's derived from the Guarani tribe, which is the largest tribe in Paraguay. And if you wanted to speak to Paraguayan in a very deep way, you would speak in Guarani. And with regards to the religion there, Paraguay would be considered predominantly Catholic. Especially if you're looking in the city context, a lot of people, if you ask them, what religion, what do you believe? Oh, I'm Catholic. A lot of that's because of just family tradition and cultural heritage, not necessarily like an active practicing Catholic, but more a lot of nominal Catholicism. But in these communities that we visited, they have more of a spiritualistic religion where they have their own religious leader called a shaman, and it's the shaman alongside with the chief that have been kind of the gatekeepers of these communities. And it's been in the past where they've had hardened hearts towards listening to the gospel. And it's just been in more recent years that there's been an openness to hearing the good news.
Yeah, so God is doing a new thing in First Nations communities in Paraguay, and specifically in the hearts of leaders that are now more open to hearing the gospel message. And at the same time that God is doing a new thing in the country, World Gospel Mission is participating in ministry in Paraguay in a new way as well. And so this is a picture of our friends Gabe and Diana Ernst. We actually went to Asbury with Gabe. He graduated a year after I did and went straight to the mission field with WGM as a single missionary. He met his wife Diana there. She is Paraguayan, but also has a calling to serve with First Nations peoples. And so the two of them just got married in January. They went on their honeymoon, came back to Asunción, packed their things, and moved 6 hours east to the town of Naranjal, which is WGM's newest ministry hub in the country. And so right now it's just Gabe and Diana there, but that's where we plan to join them when we arrive on the field. And Naranjal is a very strategic location because it's a lot closer to where many of these unreached indigenous communities are. And so we've actually never been to Naranjal before, but from what we've been told by Gabe and others, it's a town of about 6,000 people in an agricultural part of the country. They do a lot of soy production around there. And then it's about an hour and a half from Paraguay's second largest city, Ciudad del Este, that you see there on the Brazil border.
So as we go to Paraguay, the first couple of years we'll be primarily focusing on learning the language and the culture. Bethany and I, we have a background in Spanish, but to do ministry amongst indigenous people, we're going to have to learn a new language. We're going to have to learn Guarani. And so that's going to take time. And then we're also going to be learning just a new culture. I grew up in Asunción, but the culture is going to be totally different because it's a totally different context. And so as we are in the process of doing that, we're going to be praying with Gabe and Diana as to what the Lord's vision for ministry in that new location needs to be.
So we want to give you all an inside look into ministry in Paraguay because it is very exciting. And so even though Gabe was not yet living in Naranjal last year, he was able to take a number of ministry trips, and he put together a short summary video, and I think it'll give you a really good idea of what ministry looks like. So let's take a look.
Your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is a light forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name, and your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Come on now. Your name is a light forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Sing his name. Oh, and Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. You silence fear, we believe it. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, your name, come on. Your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. No, we can't. No, we can't. Your name is a light forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Sing, your name is a light, and your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. And your name cannot be overcome. Your name is a light, and your
Isn't that amazing? I love that Dr. Doug Carter spoke last night about Acts 29, the story of the church that's still being written, and that is exactly what is happening in Paraguay. God is moving in mighty ways. He's healing, he's casting out demons, he's bringing salvation to the lost. And we're excited to join in how God is at work in Paraguay. But before we can move to Paraguay, our family, we've been in the season of building a ministry partnership team because we know that we can't go alone. And it's been over a year since we've started this whole process. But we have a huge praise to let you guys know of. God has been gracious enough to provide enough funds for us to actually buy a plane ticket. And we actually bought it while we were here at Taylor County Camp. And we're excited to share. We'll be heading to Paraguay on August 19th.
So we praise God and we celebrate with you all today his faithfulness. I want to think back to that Land Cruiser lunch one more time as we wrap up our portion here. And I love that memory because it's a meal. And I think throughout scripture we see meals as representative of hospitality and of welcome and of invitation. And I think ultimately it points us to a meal that is talked about in scripture in Revelation chapter 19 as the marriage supper of the Lamb, where Christ returns for his church and invites all those that have trusted in him to his table. And I'm so excited for that meal, and I know that you are as well. But I'm also reminded that there are those in Paraguay that don't yet know that they're invited to Christ's banquet. And so we all have a part to play in inviting unreached peoples. And we're going to put up a number of QR codes that are specific ways to partner with how God's inviting people in Paraguay. But we also have some resources at our table here, and you can check those out afterwards. The first way to partner with God's invitation in Paraguay is through prayer. We need people praying for the ministry. It's actually our desire that every day of the month would be covered in prayer for God's work in Paraguay and our family as we serve there. So we've put together a prayer calendar. You can sign up for a day of the month at this link, and you'll get a reminder email on your day to pray with our most recent prayer requests. And we'll pray for you and your family on that day as well. So that's a great prayer partnership tool that we're excited about. The second way to partner is financially. While we do have our plane tickets, a large portion of our support has come through cash gifts. And so we're still about $1,000 short of our monthly support need. But because of the generous cash gifts that we have received, WGM has gone ahead and cleared us to move to Paraguay, which we're so grateful for. But we do need to add the rest of these monthly supporters so that we can be fully funded long term.
Yeah, and so here is kind of a breakdown of what our monthly partnership team looks like. And in green are all the individuals, families, and churches that are joining the work that God's doing in Paraguay. And we still have some left in white. Those are some spots that are still available. So if the Lord is leading you to join, we would just encourage you to be obedient.
Yeah, and you can sign up for support at our link on WGM's website. And that's right here on the screen. The third way to partner is by going. Paraguay is a really exciting field to come visit firsthand, and we're hoping to welcome some short-term teams not long after we settle there. And so if God's putting it on your heart to come experience ministry in Paraguay, we would love to have that conversation with you.
Yeah, so we're excited about what God is doing in Paraguay. We're excited about the new work that he's doing with unreached indigenous communities. And just like Bethany mentioned, we know that there's a banquet that's coming one day. And would you join in the work that God is doing in inviting the unreached people of Paraguay to his table? Thank you.
Just to clarify, this might make you sad, but Enrique and Maria weren't able to join us tonight. they have another commitment. Good evening, everybody. Thanks for making us feel welcome at Taylor County Camp. It's our first time here, and we're feeling so loved by y'all. Is that the way to say that, y'all?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the moments we have together, we'd like to share what our collective yes to Jesus has entailed as we continue on mission with him.
The Lord's first assignment for us was in Santa Cruz, Bolivia, where Dave served as an aircraft mechanic with the Wings of Peace Ministry, and I was a secretary in the field office. But besides our regular responsibilities, the Lord allowed us to develop relationships in some unique ways and gave us opportunities for ministry that we never dreamt of.
For instance, we vividly remember an opportunity that literally knocked on our gate one August night. The lady at our gate asked if I could take her to the hospital as she was about to give birth. I went back to the end of the house to tell Kathleen for us to get ready. It's just about midnight. I picked up the car keys. And before we got in the car, we heard,
"Wah!" We looked at each other and asked, "Did she just have that baby?" And anticipating that that is what had happened, now we're grabbing blankets, flashlights, and oh my word, we didn't even know what else to grab.
Sure enough, Senora Delicia couldn't wait any longer. She lay down in the dirt and delivered her sixth child, a little girl named Catalina. That's what my wife's name is in Spanish, is Catalina. By the time that we got back out to the gate, there was a couple of other women there. One of them was a nurse. Great. We were grateful that someone knew what to do next. In the process of the whole exciting event, one of the women called me Don David, or Mr. David. But I had no idea who she was. When things calmed down a little bit, I got up my courage and I asked her, "How do you know who I am?" And she said, "Why, everyone knows who you are. You taught our kids how to play baseball. You gave our kids Bibles."
This husband of mine, who grew up in Kenya playing soccer, stepped out of his comfort zone and up to the plate, yep, pun intended, to use baseball as a means of building relationships with the neighborhood children so they could know of Jesus' love for them. We lost touch with Catalina and didn't see her after she was a toddler. But fast forward to 2022. I received a message one night on my phone that said, "Good evening. I am Catalina from Bolivia. You helped me when I was born." How fun it was to soon have a Skype call with Catalina, who is now a mama herself, and her mama, over a Skype. For sure, if the Lord allows us at least one more visit to Bolivia, we will have a great time renewing a relationship with them that started 26 years ago at our gate.
Saying yes to God took us to Cusco, Peru in 2008, where we lived and served for about 12 years. We knew the Lord was leading us there, but we also knew that the Lord was leading us out of our comfort zone. We had never done church work per se, but that's what we were going to Cusco to do, to help a couple who had started a church and needed some help. The Lord helped us build relationships with the men, the women, the youth, through mentoring and discipleship opportunities.
Our last 7.5 years in Cusco, we rented a 3-story, 5-bedroom home, which allowed us to put our gift of hospitality to good use. Whether we hosted ministry teams from the United States, held youth group events, or provided lodging for those who were touring in the area, we loved welcoming people into our home.
In 2020, saying yes to God meant moving from South America to another country. We live in Marion, Indiana right now. And we work at World Gospel Mission headquarters. Eventually, we settled into our current ministry roles at World Gospel Mission Home Office, where I work in maintenance and grounds. Kathleen runs our mission guest house there at headquarters.
Instead of welcoming people into our 5-bedroom home, we now welcome people into a 14-bedroom guest house called the Abbott Center. While the primary purpose of the guest house is to serve our missionaries and their families, we have also had the privilege many times of welcoming non-WGM guests who've chosen to stay at the Abbott Center.
Hello, my name is Kent Mosier, and my wife and I, Lynn, have been to WGM many times over the last number of years. And we have connections to Taylor University, as Lynn and I went there, which is close by to WGM. And then I had two sons that went to Indiana Wesleyan University, which are the other university that is close to Abbott Center, and started out just with needing a place to stay for lodging and ended up just becoming so much more than that, just a great place for respite and for relaxation and refreshment. And just with the rest that we end up finding there, and secondly, just with the amount of great people that are ended up staying there. Certainly, you know, some other Taylor University families, Indiana Wesleyan families, but more importantly, just some other WGM connections. We have met wonderful people from through WGM as current missionaries or former missionaries, and have just heard great stories about their lives. And that has been that has been such a blessing. I couldn't articulate it. My wife finally said this year, after being there dozens of times, my wife finally said, "I really feel the presence of God on this campus every time we come." And that really is true. That's really what I felt, and just couldn't quite put my words to it. And when I normally run when I'm there, I just run on campus, and I pray for WGM. I pray for the staff. I pray for the directors, the board of advisors, and current missionaries, and past retired missionaries. As I know, they go through some unique battles. And I just feel like that has become part of our lives here these last eight years or so. So I just wanted to share some thoughts that somehow a place of lodging has become so much more, and how does that happen other than that the hand of God is really involved in that? So blessings on WGM.
Hi, we are Ken and Denise Ellis.
I'm Ken.
And I'm Denise. And we have been going to the Abbott Center since spring of 21. And we first heard about it through a friend of ours. Their kids went to Taylor University and they also went there. And it was just a sweet spot for us to stay because our sons play football. And we didn't have to. We enjoyed going a lot. And so it was just a great place to go, less expensive and less of a hassle than the hotels. And we have just loved getting to know Kathleen and Dowdy. It's just a wonderful place.
Yes, and we also met several families there that we became even better friends with, spending time in the common area in the mornings or at night after the games or after dinner.
And we spent for one of the kids' graduations, we had our family come there, and it was just a great time. We can use the facilities for our breakfast, and it's wonderful. The property is beautiful. So that's why we love the Abbott Center.
Amen.
When we consider that in the past year, we've helped create a welcoming home away from home for missionaries from 14 different countries, we realize that the Lord has expanded our ministry way beyond the borders of Bolivia and Peru. And I want to say right here that I didn't want to leave Peru. It was a struggle. The Lord and I had a lot of conversations. But now that we're in Marion, I see God's hand in it all. And I'm glad that we obeyed him. I'm glad that I obeyed him and that we're where we're at.
Being a missionary.
Hi, we're Jeff and Christine Stanfield, missionaries with the World Gospel Mission. We had the privilege of serving in Kenya for 21 years, but also in Uganda for another 8 or 9. And a few years ago, we made the transition back to the States to be part of our support staff here with World Gospel Mission. We now serve in the member care department, providing member care to our missionaries in Africa.
And we just want to say what a blessing Abbott Center here at World Gospel Mission has been to us and to our family down through the years. We are not from Indiana, so it was always nice when we needed to be at headquarters for meetings or other things that we had this safe, quiet, comfortable place to land. Our kids felt safe here, a good place to interact with other missionary kids who understand their way of life, and for us to interact with other missionaries as well, to be with people where we didn't have to explain ourselves as guests every night, but we could just be ourselves and relax and have fun together and learn together. It's also a blessing for us as we transitioned, was a blessing, as we transitioned back to the States. We'd never lived in Indiana before. We had no idea where to live when we accepted this position that's based out of our headquarters. And so we actually had a room and stayed here in Abbott Center for several months while we went about house looking. And again, it was just such a comfortable place, welcomed. It makes such a difference too for us in member care now, as we welcome other missionary families to come here, that there are caretakers like David and Kathleen Strong who understand the missionary life, who know what missionaries will need when they land here, who know how to help the MKs feel comfortable and be at ease. And so thank you for being a part of helping David and Kathleen Strong be here for our Abbott Center. They serve well and we are grateful.
My name is Jewel Rondon, and my family and I are currently serving in Phnom Penh, Cambodia. For our family, the Abbott Center is very special because it is a place of home and belonging. We've been staying at the Abbott Center for visits since the year 2015, but it was really our extended stay in the year 2020 that for our family and especially our children, the Abbott Center really became for us a place of home. During that time, the global pandemic prevented our family from being able to return to our home in Cambodia. And during that time, the memories that our children created in this place, the memories that they created with Miss Kathleen and Mr. Dowdy, really became core memories for them. And they associate being in America with being at the Abbott Center. From the memories that they've created in each of these rooms, to riding their bikes across campus, finding chocolates on their pillows, and being greeted by the Strongs, the Abbott Center has become home. Home away from home for our children in America. And the rest and the renewal that we find staying at the Abbott Center is really a blessing for our family and other missionaries passing through. We're grateful for this ministry, we're grateful for the Strongs, and we are thankful to have a place of home where we are known, where we are understood, and where we can find rest and renewal.
Being a missionary kid myself, I know the importance of feeling safe when nothing around you feels familiar. That's why I enjoy loving on the MKs who come to the Abbott Center. Whether I take them on gator rides, and I've not dumped a kid out of the back of the gator yet, make them homemade ice cream, or teach them how to play pickleball, I want them to feel loved and at home.
My name is Daniel Weiner. I'm a WGM MK from Argentina. I was born on the mission field in Argentina and lived back and forth between there and the States up until I graduated high school. We moved around a lot growing up, but the one place that we always came back to was WGM headquarters and specifically the Abbott Center. Every time we transitioned between countries, coming into the States, it was our landing point where we'd acclimate back to the U.S., and when we were headed back to Argentina, it was always our launching point. It was the last place we stopped to make sure everything was set and ready before we left the country. Whenever my parents were speaking in churches throughout the Midwest, it was also the place we kept coming back to just for a chance to rest and recuperate. And we sometimes spend weeks there while my parents went through training or different preparations. So many MKs have literally grown up in that building and on that property. It's where I learned to fish in the ponds, and it's where I taught my kids to fish. I remember the first thing we do every time we reached the Abbott Center was go in and check the board to see who else was there and go find the other MKs to go play with. It was the one place where we could just be us. Even now, anytime I visit, it still feels like coming home.
I love going to Indiana three times a year to do build training. We love to use the Abbott Center when we do that training, not just because it's a beautiful facility, but because it's a warm and welcoming atmosphere. Kathleen and Dowdy do such a good job of making it a place that feels like home and where you feel welcome. So at the end of the day, when I'm walking back to my room and I'm so exhausted, and I think everyone has to be this exhausted, I look out the window and Dowdy is giving the missionary kids rides on the gator, or doing s'mores, or making ice cream, or doing something to make long-lasting memories with the missionary kids that are there in attendance. And that sense of family is why I love being at the Abbott Center and why I love the ministry that the Strongs do.
Are you hearing what we're hearing about the Abbott Center? It's a peaceful, safe landing space for all of our guests, whether with WGM or not. They can rest, relax, make memories, and feel at home. We are so thankful that the Abbott Center is the Lord's assignment for us in this stage of our lives. We get to welcome, love on, sometimes cry with, listen to, and serve all who pass through our doors. Here's one last video which captures the essence of what so many feel about coming to the campus of WGM and the Abbott Center.
Here, not just buildings, not just land, but a place of welcome and stillness. An oasis in the movement, an incubator in the transitions, a place to be known, accepted, understood. For many of us, this was home between homes. The flags out front, they didn't just represent countries, they represented us, our stories, our roots, our journeys. These halls held our laughter. The playroom echoed with our childhoods. Retreats, reunions, goodbyes, and new beginnings all found space here. Here we dreamed. Here we decided. Here we grieved. Here we belonged and connected. The Abbott Center has been a constant in our lives, through shifting seasons and continents, a resting place, a place where friendships began, where missions were born, where hearts were mended. Many generations have walked these halls, playing, growing, and finding a sense of home. Because here still holds, still welcomes, still knows us. Thank you, Abbott Center, for being the oasis, for being the incubator, and for being the place that always reminds us we are not alone in the in-between.
I can hardly watch that without crying. Because as we prepared our presentation, I'm not an MK, I am a missionary, but there's something about that place that I realized in preparing that is a sacred place. It's that home for all the people in transition over their life, in their lives. would you like to be a part of kingdom work that has impact literally around the world? By partnering with us and the ministry at the Abbott Center, you can do just that. If you sense Jesus nudging you to partner with us, click the QR code shown here. Fill out the coupon on the prayer card. If you didn't get a prayer card, please see us afterwards and we'll get you one, okay? Or talk to us later. We will be here. The average recurring gift to WGM missionaries is $75 a month. If that's what you can give, awesome. If you can give more, that's wonderful. But please know that any amount given on a regular basis goes a long way in supporting the guest house ministry of which we are a part. Together, let's say yes to Jesus and bless those seeking rest, relaxation, and renewal at the Abbott Center. Thank you.
The next time you come to Indiana, I know a lot of you do that a lot, get a hold of my wife, and we'll have a place for you to stay. Thanks.
She said, "Are you hearing what I'm hearing? A lot of good stuff about the Abbott Center." That's true, but what I was really hearing is a lot of good stuff about the Strongs. The Abbott Center is the Abbott Center because the Strongs are who the Strongs are. And you have made that place into that home away from home. So thank you so much for your ministry. I know you have a hard choice on which one to choose to support. What man, who do you pick from? Don't pick, just do both of them. Look in front of you. In front of you is a WGM envelope, and you can partner with the Donahues, with the Strongs. We've already taken the offering, but it's not too late. And make your checks payable to World Gospel Mission. The Donahues are closing in on 100%, and I would like to send them away on Friday knowing that that is summed up. And they only have to worry about, you know, the easy stuff like learning languages and getting ready to move to another country with a little David. So please partner with them. I said earlier that you would hear me say, where is your ministry? Where's your mission field? Where's your mission field? I want to make sure that you realize that Christianity is global. We get so tied up in our local church and serving in our local church that we forget that we have a global impact that we can be making as well. So where is your mission field? You have the opportunity today to make Paraguay your mission field. Make WGM headquarters your mission field. Isn't it a beautiful headquarters? It's a beautiful campus that they have out there. So I want to do something a little different to end the service today. If you are in agreement to pray for the Strongs as part of the Taylor County family, or pray for the Donahues as part of the Taylor County family, would you just raise your hand? I will pray for these. Now, let's commit to do this by a round of applause. Let's commit to pray for the Strongs and for the Donahues with a round of applause just so they can hear your commitment and that you have their back. All right, so I just tricked you. If you can promise to pray for these two missionary teams, that's the hard promise. Giving is the easiest. To promise to pray for someone on a routine basis, to seek after the Lord continually on behalf of them is a major, major commitment. And I thank you for making it. It makes giving a whole lot easier. So asking for money is not that big of a deal. Asking for prayer, that's serious stuff. Because prayer is powerful. And we don't want to send these missionaries off to their field without backing them up with prayer. And I want to ask another question. If you have some kind, and I know there's a few of you out there, if you have some kind of calling to full-time ministry in some capacity, and you've not started working in that capacity yet, so not Brother Doug, who's been ministering for 300 years, if you have a calling that you're a sure calling from God, would you come forward? If you are planning on going to the ministry in some way, Jesse, come on. Garrett, come on. I'm calling him out now. Where's Brother Jay? That's how you got to do it. Just call him out. Come on. Anybody else? Have a calling to full-time ministry. Would you kneel at the altar? What a privilege. Now, those of you that have been working in your calling to full-time ministry, would you come up and gather around these three young men, and we're going to pray for them. If you are already currently working in a ministry role, because you have been called by God, I remember when I was 12 years old, it was Washington, D.C., of all places, where I got my call to ministry. We were on a missions trip to the homeless in Washington, D.C., and we were doing devotions, and I received the call there. But Dr. Carter, it was at the chapel at Southwest Indian School when I delivered one of my first sermons ever. I don't even remember what I preached on. It flopped. I was only like 16. But I remember as I flopped and stepped back from the pulpit, had just given an altar call, and seeing the native children come forward to the altar and adults to come forward to the altar, I remember sitting in the back and just watching. I'm like, that is pretty cool. I've got to do that again. Because it wasn't anything I did, because I flopped. But it was the Holy Spirit moving that made the difference. And it was amazing to be a part of. So it was on that stage that it was confirmed to preach and become a pastor. Now I'm wondering if there's anyone out there that might have been feeling a nudge of God leading them to full-time ministry in some way. Whether it's on the mission field or to be a pastor or a youth pastor. I truly believe that as long as you're breathing, God has purpose. And inside of that purpose is a special calling. And for a lot of mothers, it's a calling to be the best mom you can be and disciple your children. For a lot of fathers, it's to be present and to be the loving father that you need to be and loving husband. Maybe it's to reach your neighbor. Maybe it's to go around the world. But if you have a calling that you're debating, that you're working out, would you come forward too? And let us pray for you. Let's go ahead and, where's Brian? You're probably getting ready to pray, aren't you? Would you sing as we go over this? A closing, yes. No, it's right up here.
Missionary Day, 61 years ago, right here this altar, my call.
Dr. Carter, you were saved and called at this altar. And Brother Jay, you were called at this altar. This is the place. And you're among other people that have been called. I'm on number 4, Avery. I'm going to walk away for a minute. Some of you out there might be battling on whether or not you're called. We heard the song earlier by Brian that we just want our life to count for Jesus. We just want our life to count for Jesus. Where what other people see is Jesus in us. Whether it's a call to the mission field or to the church or to your family, God is still calling today. And he needs men and women who are willing to say yes and, like we heard earlier, yes, Lord, and I will obey whatever is next. And I'm just wondering if there's anyone out there that needs to begin that yes and process and come forward. As we're singing, won't you come forward? We're going to pray over those that have been called and by those that have been called. Please join us. Let's all stand.
I say yes.
It's not to a calling to the ministry. Maybe it's just a yes that you need to make tonight. It's a yes, Lord. Here I am. Use me however you see fit. I surrender to you. Have your way. How many of you want your next step to be a step that gets closer to Jesus? You can't take that step without a yes. So maybe it's just another yes, that's not a yes to the ministry or not a yes to the calling, but it's a yes to Jesus, to make yourself available. I am here for you to use as you see fit. Use me, mold me, and make me. If you want to say yes to Jesus one more time, even if you've said yes for 75 years, there's still another yes. Let's agree today. Come forward and say yes one more time to surrender yourself and to lay it out. Yes, Lord, I'm here. Your servant is here and willing.
I say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I say yes, Lord.
Thank you so much for the giants of faith that are here at this campgrounds that you have called out to share Jesus. Most of us can remember the names, remember the faces of people that have ministered to us, that have encouraged us, that have been Jesus to us. And Lord, at the altar, we have a few that have said yes to the ministry.
Father God, would you just encourage them, strengthen them, shut up the lies of the enemy in their lives, and may your truth and your calling be what sustains them. We are all here at the altar to say that we surrender everything to be yours. Father, our lives are yours. Our thoughts, Father, we want our thoughts to be your thoughts and our heart to be your heart. That our breath is your breath. Would you just shine off of us so that we can represent and resemble and always point to you with whatever we do and with whatever we say. I thank you for the way that you are moving this week, and I pray that you continue. Father God, we dedicate all of this to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give him some praise this evening. Yeah, let's do a little better. Let's praise him this evening. I know you were not asleep. I saw your eyes open. All right, we have a reception for WGM right up here in the cafeteria. There's also a virtual reality machine that's up there where you can do virtual reality on some of our mission fields around the world. So join us up there, won't you? You're dismissed.
I'm so glad I'm part of